Biscuits and gravy.
Tony.
Hello, boys.
What does LP stand for?
Lizard people. Nazi whale margarine pirates.
So far, I've had 7 McRibs.
Bullabuck.
Pol Pot pie.
I'm the prognosticator of prognosticators.
Like a slaughterhouse sangria.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Good morning and aloha, Biscuiteers. You got a dialed on name to the Truth Network. That's right. This is 88.5 KAKU, the voice of
Gravy.
That's right. The voice of Gravy, the voice of Truth, the voice of Reckoning. We got one heck of a doozy for you today on the Biscuits and Gravy Show. Boop, boop.
That's why we got the train whistle.
There we go.
I'm Chuck Sauce. He's Vince Fody. And then today we have someone who showed up. Whoa. We have a comedian extraordinaire all the way from L.A. Are you ready to butt plug some stuff today?
I hope so, yeah.
Heck yeah, baby. Who are you?
I hope it's
you. Why are you here?
I hope it's you,
baby.
What
are we talking about?
Are you ready to ride the gravy train?
Oh, dude. I've been waiting. I've been slathering myself in flour all morning, waiting for you guys to make this gravy.
Willie always shows up, though.
Yes.
That's friend of the show, Willie Simon, is here today. One of our favorite guests of all time. I was actually surprised that Ted showed up.
Yeah.
Because last week...
I think you're projecting.
Last week we were supposed to have Ted and Willie at the same time, but Willie... had to
drop his girlfriend off
at the airport. Yeah. Gay.
Yeah.
But Ted showed up, and I thought that Ted had been here. I had a fond memory of Ted being here last Christmas. But then I checked the archives, and
it's
turns out
3 years.
Ted hadn't been on the show since 2022.
Crazy.
He was there. And then last year it was Rhonda was here for our holiday episode. And then the year before it was Shane.
Nice.
Yeah. And so we're glad that you were able to extend your trip so that you could be on island. And
dude, it's a real Mount Rushmore of Maui comedians you guys
yes.
got.
Yes. Yeah. Just blew apart what was a sacred area for other people.
I mean, we don't just let anybody do the Christmas episode.
Yeah. Or any episodes. We get asked at comedy sometimes, hey, can I go on your show? And I'm like, I don't like you at all.
Abra.
I don't like you at all. What do you? I'm like, well.
It's always interesting to see how different comedians translate from stand-up comedy to radio. Some people aren't funny
at all,
and then they come on the radio and they're really good on the radio.
Yeah,
and then some people are really good at stand up, and then they come on the radio and they're not fun. They're not good
they're
at
like
all.
They're like the lamest. It's like their comedy is premeditated. Some
people you never really
focus
know.
And work hard on comedy, and then they're good comedians, which is great. And some people are like, oh, I'm just funny all the time, and I'm like, well, that could work on a radio show, but that doesn't work in front of 50 people. You have to like prepare.
Yeah,
you have to like write jokes.
Before you started getting into comedy, did you guys ever think that comedians were doing more improv? Like, you watch a special and you're like, how do you remember all that?
Yeah, I thought it was just kind of off the dome.
Yeah. And then you realize they know all that because it takes like 7 years to make a 1 hour special.
Yeah.
And you've been doing that same shtick like 150 times a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
You're like running it all the time. And
running it all the time, yeah, baby.
That's the same issue that musicians run into along with comedians where everybody's like, oh, I like their earlier stuff better. And it's like, yeah, that's because you
had
10
years to figure it out.
You had your entire life to write your first hour, then you had a year to write your second hour.
Yeah.
Same thing with albums. Everybody's like, they spent their entire life writing that first album, and then they have, you know, the record contract that they get gives them another year to write their second album.
It's all the creative juices. Now, some bands are like leftovers.
Some people
are actually better.
Some people thrive under pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boo-doo-doo-doo.
Some people are like, that first 6 years was garbage. I'm glad I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Looking at you, Mark Maron.
Are people like George Carlin. Like, George Carlin would just throw away all of his material every year and just write another hour.
Yeah.
And
it's wild seeing
only the best can do it, though.
Prim and proper George Carlin in black and white TV in a suit doing comedy.
Yeah. It was really great.
And there's a bunch of those. Even Richard Pryor, like him like singing in like a suit. You're like, who is this guy? this guy doesn't look like he set himself on fire. Dude. That seems like a different guy.
That guy's not smoking crack at all. So if you're a fan
looks
of
like the CIA
comedy,
guy who invented crack.
That's he's the one that brought it into the country.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of stand-up comedy, there's multiple places that you can check out. On Island, we have the open mic every Monday at PBCB. It's Paella Bay Coffee Bar.
PBCB.
That's hosted by friend of the show, Chino LaForge. And then we have a little more of a looser form open mic every Tuesday at Vibe. And that starts whenever.
That means the worst one.
That's
oh, my God. It smelled like we were trying to figure out what that smell was last night.
Yeah.
And then
I got there. The guy's like spraying it down with Lysol. And I'm like, I think I'm going to pass out if I have two drinks and Lysol in my nose, you know?
Yeah, best case scenario, honestly.
I remember one time the bartender, one of our comedians passed away, and he like poured some beer out on the floor. And then he came by later. He's like, what happened over here? It's like, you poured beer on the floor.
Yeah. Like, you guys can't drink on the dance floor. And I was like, that was you.
That was you. Don't you remember doing
that? That was you. That was you.
So, yeah. Real.
Also, when you identify the smell, it makes it worse. It doesn't make it better.
Yeah. What are you going to find out?
We thought it was rancid alcohol.
You're going to find out and be like, oh, thank God.
Oh, it's puke and rancid alcohol. Great. Now I know.
It's like sweat from a fat girl from Virginia. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
God,
like,
I touched my microphone. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I was at a restaurant the other day, and the lady had her dog there, and she's just like, I just want you to know that this isn't dog pee. The dog knocked over her water bowl. I'm like, why is your dog in here?
Yeah.
This isn't PetSmart.
That's not dog pee. That's dog pee.
This and isn't dog pee. I just want you to know that the dog pees over there.
Yeah. People bring their dogs everywhere. Don't they just can't leave? The dogs like to chill at home. Dogs like to sleep.
Yeah. But yeah. Also, dogs like going to restaurants, you know?
Yeah. Well,
like me and you.
Good. Yeah, but guess what? I hate you trip over them, you kick them, and they complain about kicking the dog.
Honestly,
and
I love a dog.
It ends up being the bartender's dog. Like, they don't want to do comedy there anymore.
Yeah, that's just a very specific incident that only happened to you, John.
I love a dog in a restaurant.
That was at Nalu's. Chuck was on his way. It's like, they're like, coming up next, it's Chuck Thompson. And then on his way up, he like stepped on a dog. Everybody was like, ugh. That's not a great way to start your comedy
what?
Set.
They took the dog side over my side.
Yeah. He was like, probably because you're like, stupid dog. I hate that dog.
He's like, I hate dogs. And it's like the bartender's like, that's my dog. Get out. And then a homeless lady threw a salad at me. Great night.
Yeah.
Wow. That was a good time.
That's awesome.
And then they were doing a donation for homeless people. They had a canoe full of like boxed food.
Uh-huh.
And then they brought the canoe in and shut the doors. And I'm like, I don't think you really care about homeless people that much.
Well, they're probably going to give it to like a bank or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I imagine.
Yeah. No, I think
it's not like a come grab. Because, you know, you want to help the homeless, but you don't want them to come to your business.
It's not like
You know, like, go to the designated homeless people spot to get
like,
this food.
It's also, like a leave a cream corn, take a cream corn.
How are they going to make hamburger helper?
Yeah.
Cream corn.
I mean, what are you giving to food drives? Not anything
socks.
Good. Like beets?
Yeah.
Like canned beets?
Yeah. That she threw a beet goat cheese salad.
That was a good goat cheese salad. They had a good goat cheese salad over at Nala's back
did.
In the day.
Also, I was making fun of homeless people and then got off stage and then they came in and threw it at you.
Well, to be fair, I was also making fun of homeless people.
Yeah, which we don't do anymore.
Today's show is brought to us by Gary Sinise's Guide to Being an Uncle. For nephews and nieces,
you need Sinise's.
Here, you can read
funding for the Biscuits and Gravy Show comes in part by lovely community-minded celebrity sponsors like Christoph Waltz's Dance Studio. Do you want a tango like Django? You'll be in a glorious dancer. Woo.
That's
right. And of course, Kim Kardashian sunscreen. Nobody knows more about getting pounded by rays. You guys got to update these.
No, these are still
like 20 years
as
ago.
Relevant as ever.
Gary, everyone.
You know
Gary
who else is very relevant? Clay Aiken's Pottery Palace. When you're aching for some clay. And today's show wouldn't be possible without support from Benedict Cumberbatch's Eggs. Make your eggs, Benedict's.
Woo woo.
So tonight is New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Are you guys excited?
Yeah.
For the war zone that is South Maui.
It's going to be awesome.
It's
going to be great.
People spending like their kids' tuition on like one night of fireworks. It's the coolest thing in the entire world.
Have you met
the
kids?
Nowhere like it.
Have you met the kids?
Those kids were not going to college.
I know. Yeah. I'm not saying they were, but you know, they could maybe a small estate school somewhere, you know, but a community college in like a bad city like Tulsa, you know.
I don't think that's going to get you out of.
Every old person I know.
It's going to make you come back. That's
always institutionalized poverty.
To get me to watch Tulsa King, they're like, you're going to love it. I'm like, what would I possibly love about it?
Yeah.
Like, how is he still alive?
I've never seen it, but isn't it? He's like a mob guy or something?
Yeah,
in Tulsa.
In Tulsa. And there's like horse racing and dogs or something.
I'm not scared of the mafia in Tulsa. I'm not going to lie.
Not at all.
I think I could get one over on the Tulsa mob.
Yeah. What was that HBO horse show?
Like,
we
got to find Willie. And they're like, nah, forget it. Where'd he move to? Maui? Nah. Let him go.
Where'd he move to? Somewhere else in Oklahoma? We don't have that kind of reach
now.
That's one rat that we're just going to have to let get away. So do you guys have any fireworks at home?
No, I got zero fireworks.
You didn't stock up on fireworks?
No, I forgot.
I like to go to Costco's. Always got good deals on fireworks. They got like the $50 package, and then they got like the $100 package. And man, they have good deals on fireworks. I think after the show, I'm gonna stop over to Costco and pick up some fireworks. Safeway is always a good spot for fireworks.
I didn't see any pop up firework places this year. And
you know what? Usually you see they're like over at Safeway or they're over by Walmart.
Like,
I didn't
homemade
see the,
ones.
I didn't see.
I didn't get any. There's no. The illegal connects are harder to get this year too.
The illegal connects.
Yeah.
Well, that's.
I got 2 pounds of Semtex.
I'm just buying Estes rocket engines and Vaseline. Right. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
I got to plug at Lockheed Martin. He sent me some stuff.
Home Depot.
I got a buddy in Tel Aviv.
Sold out of manure.
I knew it. Yeah, I think it's because of the tariffs. The tariffs on illegal fireworks have gone up so much.
Illegal fireworks.
Yeah. Well, I used to work with more Filipinos, and everybody always like, you know, one of them knows somebody that works at the hotel that's got the sheet going around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been harder and harder to get the connects, especially. And also, like, even when I do have the connects, you look at the sheet, and about 2 years ago, for some reason, the price of all the fireworks doubled. And it's like, it's getting harder and harder to blow yourself up nowadays.
Anyone good? All right, as long as it's not Marlon Brando.
No, I just disconnected the phone.
Okay. Caller number 5, you're live.
I just told you I disconnected the phone.
It still doesn't work.
That's how phones work.
I don't know.
Chuck's never seen a landline before.
No, I don't know how that works. I don't know.
I literally unplugged it from the wall, and Chuck's like, hello? Hello, are you there?
Is this thing on?
Operator.
Operator.
Get me Crestfield 457.
Crustfield. Down in Crustfield.
So how did you guys enjoy your holidays?
Loved it. Let's do a little Wagyu.
Little Christmas wrap-up.
Mm.
You got Wagyu for Christmas?
Yeah, we ate Wagyu for Christmas.
Oh, you didn't get it? Like, wasn't in a box?
No.
Like, this should have been in the fridge and not under the tree.
Although my family does mail me meat, and they have to stop. I appreciate it, but they have to stop doing it.
The success rate of your mom mailing you meat is like 1 in 5.
It's so
There's
bad.
Only one time that the meat actually got through.
Yeah.
And then you were like, you brought the meat over to my house and you were trying to like have me be your guinea pig. You're like, taste this sausage. What do you think about this?
I'm like,
you eat it first. I'm not eating meat that was mailed here from Connecticut.
This year it's fresh, but there's fentanyl in it.
Ooh, even better. We can flip this.
Yeah,
like, oh, this A5 Wagyu is stepped
on. A5.
Kept me up all night. Really, really thinned me out.
A friend of the show, Rhonda, she got so many presents that had to be refrigerated that she had I gave her a little like Christmas tree to put in her fridge. So she had a Christmas tree in her fridge, and then the presents were wrapped up in the fridge underneath the little mini tree.
That's great.
Yeah. Because sometimes you just have to refrigerate your Christmas presents.
Everybody gave her refrigerated presents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
want food.
Human hearts.
Yeah.
It's in like a medical cooler.
Yeah.
It's like, this says biohazard on it. I don't think this is an appropriate present.
No, she definitely needs a heart for Christmas.
But rough. She's like the Tin Man.
Yeah.
Did you get anything good for Christmas?
I got an Indiana Jones pop head.
What was it?
I got, you know, I love Indiana Jones.
Yes, everyone knows
so
that.
So I got an Indiana Jones.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows. And caller number five, you're live. I love Indiana Jones.
Yeah, you got a Funko Pop.
Yeah.
He called it a pop head.
Yeah,
which
well, it's
is,
a big head.
Is not a thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know. I was confused there. That makes sense.
Yeah, pop head? No, Funko Pop.
Do you do the Funko thing? Do you have a bunch of them?
First one, and now I'm addicted, baby. I think it's the fentanyl.
he's got one.
I got. Yeah.
So are you going to put it in your house? I was thinking, because I was the one that gave him the Indiana Jones Funko Pop, and it's got the big boulder behind him.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was thinking you could like put it in your garden, so it's like so it looks like an exotic jungle type
oh,
of thing.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. And I do have I got
or you can keep it
TMNT
in your house,
in my jungle already.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I got a lot of stuff hidden in my backyard.
Now, Willie, when you come here, you're usually on island for Christmas, but you don't live here year round. So do you guys like exchange presents while you're here, or do you wait till you get home to exchange your presents, or what do you do?
Usually we do it while we're here, but Christina left, my girlfriend left on the 24th, so I gotta give it to her when I get back.
Nice.
So yeah, this year it's...
So your girlfriend was gone? That's the best Christmas present of all.
Come on, dude.
Yeah, hey, oh. That's the exact right. mentality I would expect.
I got exactly
from...
what I asked for, peace and quiet.
Yeah.
Caller number five, we got Willie's girlfriend on the line.
I'm back, you...
That's exactly the mentality I would expect from somebody with that mustache.
This is a lover's mustache, man. What are you talking about?
Like,
this is a dad's mustache.
Mm.
What do you want for
Not
Christmas?
Not a father.
Were we talking
treatment.
About phrenology last week?
I think so, yeah.
The leading phrenology guy. Let me feel that mustache. Ooh, bad temperament.
Yeah, that's not good. Somebody's yelling.
I went to a sex prison and all of them had the same bump on their face.
Yeah, Chuck was talking about skull shapes.
Yeah. You know, I'm really into the phrenology.
Calvin Candy over here.
This guy hates sour cream. He's a true murderer.
Well, that's how I feel, though.
Chuck has a theory that people who hate sour cream are criminals.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Which I love sour cream, and I'm a criminal, so...
Yeah, I love sour cream.
That goes... Now, I...
What the hell, man?
I got something very interesting for Christmas. I got my annual bottle of Johnny Walker Blue, which is something
Whoa.
That I always enjoy getting. But Diana got me the gift set. Of Johnny Walker Blue that
Whoa.
Has the glasses in it.
Yeah.
Glasses are super heavy. But when I opened up the box on Christmas morning, there was nothing inside of it. And it turns out that you're supposed to like go show them your receipt and they give you the bottle to put into the box.
Oh my God.
Diana didn't know that she was supposed to do that. So she just gave me like an empty box for Christmas.
That's funny. It's like a prank.
She didn't notice there wasn't a bottle in it.
There's a note that said you need to quit drinking.
And so she called Costco and they were able to like look at the security footage and be like, yeah, we have it on video. You paid and then you walked right out. So she went in and she got the bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. So she was able to not have to buy another bottle of Johnny Walker Blue.
Costco treats people pretty good though.
Yeah.
Costco is so generous when it comes to like returns and stuff like that.
The fact that they went into security cameras is very nice.
Yeah. They're like, well, we're going to have to check the security and see, like, if you went and picked up the thing. And she had her receipt, so she knew the exact, like, time that she had paid for it. And they're like, oh, yeah, we got you on video. There you are. And you walked right out without it. So all was well. I got my Johnny Walker Blue.
It's a
Johnny
Christmas
Walker
miracle.
Blue, huh?
It is a Christmas miracle.
I like the green. The black? I don't like Johnny Walker Black that much. I think.
What about red?
The red? That's, like, the normal one, right?
No, black is like the regular.
Oh, okay.
And then the red is a little bit higher end.
Oh, I don't think I've had the red.
And then the blue is like the really high end one.
These color schemes are all over the place.
Yeah.
They just kind of made up new ones. Like,
that's why Christy doesn't buy Chuck Scotch for Christmas because she's colorblind.
Yeah. I do like bourbon.
I got you Johnny Walker Green. What is this?
I like bourbon, man. I love bourbon.
I like bourbon for Christmas too.
What's
your favorite bourbon?
Whistlepig. I mean, if I have to go,
Whistlepig makes a pretty darn good bourbon.
Actually, Whistlepig makes a 6-year whiskey, and that might be my fave.
Have you ever had the Whistlepig 10-year?
Of course,
the 10-year is really good. And
I got it
I
at
like,
the Specialty Food Land,
and their rye is really good too. I love Whistlepig, man.
Whistlepig's good. I'm a Maker's Mark guy, dude.
Yeah? No way.
I love Maker's Mark.
I was drinking Maker's Mark
last
night.
I'm like a 45-year-old black guy.
Well, Maker's Mark too.
I have like a Kangol hat on,
like Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. Hey, honey, Maker's Mark.
Maker's Mark is a quick drink, man. I say yeah. Maker's Mark, man. Ooh, baby.
Yeah, that stuff is good.
I like Booker's a lot, too. I like Basil Hayden.
I love Basil Hayden.
I like Lexington. Lexington's pretty good.
Yeah.
Jefferson's all right.
But Maker's Mark is...
just naming, like, battles in the Civil War. I mean, I know these ones. Gettysburg
like,
whiskey
like
is my favorite.
Tonkin's yeah. a really good one.
Sherman's March to the Rye. There's like one guy out there who's going to get that joke. that's you guys.
And that's, yeah.
The bottle of Bunker Hill. What is this? Yeah. This sounds delicious.
There's a guy sitting in the Costco parking lot like, this show has everything, man.
That's what I said about my white supremacist
historical bourbon
show.
Jokes?
Oh, my
this
God.
This is amazing.
You're listening to
you
historical bourbon jokes on KAKU 88.5, the voice of gravy.
Did you see Sherman's March to the Rye? Yeah.
Sherman's Catchers in the Rye?
I like mine more.
Where does the yes. Where does the bourbon go in the winter? Anyway, let's plug some shows. What are you doing?
Nothing at all.
He's on vacation.
Don't you have, big don't you have shows coming up when you go back to the mainland?
Yeah, in like Dallas and like Sacramento, but I don't think I don't think we have a lot of listeners in Dallas.
You'd be surprised.
Just
how
going
about,
out on a limb.
How about in L.A.? How many days are you performing in L.A.?
I'm at the Comedy Store like 4 or 5 times a week.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah, yeah.
All of our listeners, they use me a lot, all of our listeners in Dallas are hanging outside the Book Depository.
They're doing one for one cream corn in Dallas.
No, they're more on the take a cream corn side.
Yeah, yeah. They're not leaving.
A lot of our listeners aren't leaving a lot in the canned food drives.
But no, yeah, I'm up at the Store a bunch, the Improv, you know, if you're in L.A.
Who else is going on the nights that you go on?
Chuck's at the Store.
Yeah,
he's at the
Store too.
He's at the grocery store.
But, no, like all the regular store guys, like Bobby Lee and like Tim Dillon and a lot of those dudes. Yeah. So you come for all those guys, and then you end up staying too long and seeing me.
You that's stay the, for the Willie.
That's the good stuff. You know what I mean? That's where you want to be. Sometimes I get put in the middle or the beginning.
Yeah, the Willie sandwich.
Yeah.
I like that.
Good. It's
they're
nice.
Like, what are they just in the back, like, hanging out forever? No, they're like, you know what? I'm running late. Why don't Willie go on?
No, they don't watch anyone.
Oh, yeah.
They're every... comedian that like is big is they don't help young comics. They just kind of get the dumbest podcasters they've ever met and then try to get them into stand up.
Really?
That's the new thing. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Wow. No one helps anybody.
Tell them about the Biscuits and Gravy show.
Yeah, exactly. You guys will be touring with Tim Dillon long before I will.
No one is dumber than Chuck.
You're kind of his type too. You're a little old, but definitely his.
That's what I hear.
Definitely his size.
That's what I hear.
No, well, Tim Dillon, his whole thing is like, I'm going to take like a 19-year-old boy on the road. And you're like, I know what this is.
Yeah.
I know what this is. Awesome.
Shouts out to Luke Binkow.
Like, hold on, I'm going to go shave.
I feel like that's the mark of like a real comedian is that when you go on vacation, you no longer feel the need to like, oh, I got to get a set in while I'm here. It's like, no, I'm trying to not work.
Yeah, I came to the Vibe mic last night and I hung out for like 2 drinks and like saved like 30 minutes and I was like, I'm going to go.
An hour
I went to go
and
pick
a half
up my
later,
buddy out, and I'm like,
Shane's like, do you think Willie's coming back? He said he'd be back in a half an hour.
It's the oldest trick in the book.
I did think I was coming back, and then I got to my buddy's house, and I was like, I think I'm going to stay here.
And he called me at 11. I had just gotten home, and you're like getting to lab.
Who leaves an open mic and goes to somebody's house with the intention of coming back?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what I was thinking. He was like, oh, come pick me up, and I'll come. And I was like, oh, that sounds good. And I got there, and
sounds
I was
terrible.
Like, hey, we don't need to go back.
No, why
it was actually it was actually my idea to not go back. He was like, I want to go. And I'm like, I don't want to go.
That's great. I've got something exciting to announce.
What?
Okay. So I recently got something that I've been trying to get my hands on for a long time. It wasn't a Christmas present. When I was a kid, my sister broke my favorite mug. It was this Conan O'Brien mug, like this vintage Conan O'Brien mug that I got when I went to go see him live.
Whoa.
When I was a kid. And it was like my favorite mug of all time, right? My sister borrowed it. She put it in her car. It got broke and like left in her car. I found it on her floor of her car broken. And I was like, I was devastated, right?
Yeah.
And I've been, I spent the last 20 years trying to like find this mug on eBay and to no avail, right?
Yeah.
And then like last week, one of them popped up on eBay in mint condition.
Wow.
And I'm happy to say that I'm finally getting to replace this cone. And you know what's funny? Just the other week, I was talking to you. You told me that you've never used eBay before.
Yeah, never done it.
Never?
Yeah. And I was flabbergasted.
Is that a generational thing? I think
yeah.
so. Yeah,
I'm dumbfounded. Just,
only yeah. millennials use eBay? Is that
I'm shuttlecocked.
Yeah, because I think like eBay was the original Amazon.
Yeah, now I just get stuff on Amazon.
Yeah,
or like Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's like eBay for stuff you can pick up at some guy's house.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of getting it mailed to you.
You just have to drive to Kahului to pick it up.
Yeah, exactly.
But eBay was like, anytime you're trying to find something rare or something that, like a rare print of an album or some old collectible toy or whatever, eBay was like a godsend.
Yeah.
And so now millennials just use it to recapture their youth. And
worth it.
And spend disposable income on stuff that from their childhood.
Well, what are you going to do? Donate to the food drive?
Yeah, or yeah. donate to Wikipedia?
Can Wikipedia, they track us all the time. They know I donate money. I donate $5 a year to Wikipedia.
Yeah, I donate to Wikipedia like multiple times per year, and they still keep asking me
and
for...
And then you go on the next day.
It's like, dude, I already donated.
Like, I use Wikipedia.
They always lie, too. They're like, we usually don't do this. And I'm like, you usually do this.
I probably use Wikipedia every day just to read about something dumb. I've never given them a cent, and I won't.
Like a real American.
Everything should be free. And vegetables should be free. Why are we paying for vegetables?
Yeah, right?
They should be free.
Yeah. They taste gross.
Yeah. You should be paying me to eat them.
Why are we subsidizing corn if we still have to pay for it?
Yeah.
Why is
yeah,
the government
heck?
Subsidizing that stuff that I still have to pay for?
Yeah.
If you're going to subsidize vegetables, make them free.
Free, baby.
I agree.
That's the biscuit and gravy bump next year. Free vegetables.
Speaking of other Chuck platforms, it's time for Follow Up Junction.
Follow Up Junction on KAKU 88.5, the voice of
gravy. Okay, the Follow Up Junction. Here, read this, Willie. This very, very timely,
very
and relevant.
Poignant.
Frank Capra's. Guys, I'm not gonna lie. I don't know who Frank Capra is.
Nor should you. You don't know the director from the 40s, Frank Capra?
Oh, this ad read isn't fair.
Just
Frank Capra's Capricola or Gabagool.
Yeah, Frank Capra's Gabagool.
Gabagool.
It's a wonderful sandwich. Okay. Chuck wrote that one.
Chuck doesn't know who Frank Capra is either.
Yeah. He wrote or directed A Wonderful Life.
And he also directed Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
No, yeah, which makes sense for this next part. You don't have to go all the way to Washington for quality deli meats.
There you go, Frank Capra's
Gabagool.
Little Gabagool. One time I had to drive all over the island looking for Gabagool. I was having like a Sopranos watch party, and I was like, I need to get some Gabagool so I can watch Sopranos.
I did the same thing. There's
who else is in the watch party?
And oh, it was just me. It was just me smoking weed and eating Capricola out of like a Tupperware container.
When I watched Sopranos for the first time like a couple years
ago. A party.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a party of one.
It's great. It's party of my mouth.
Vince party of one.
And so literally nobody on the entire island had Capricola. And then I went into Jersey Mike's and Jersey Mike's had the Gabagool. So I'm like, hey, can you just like slice me off some Capricola? The guy's like, no, I can't do that. And I was like, well, I'll just pay you whatever you want. Just give me a bunch of Gabagool, right? I'm like, give me that Gabagool.
Yeah, he ain't no Gabagool fool.
He goes, I can't.
Like, I can put a bunch of it in a sandwich.
No, literally, he goes, I can't do that. And he's like, you have to order it on a sandwich. I was like, all right, so give me a Capricola sandwich.
Give me 2 pounds of Capricola.
I was like, just give it all Capricola, no lettuce, no tomato, no bun, no nothing. And the guy's like, here, just take it. Like, it kind of dawned on him, like, how dumb it was that he couldn't just... He's like, I'll just give you the capricola. He just, like, sliced me off a pound of it and charged me whatever the price of the sandwich was. I was like, thanks, man. So that dude at Jersey Mike's, he saved my Sopranos watch party, so good on you.
Dude, I used to drive, like, 45 minutes to get... like capicola from this Italian deli in Pasadena when I was watching.
Oh yeah,
yummy!
No, I was like, it's so worth it.
Yummy,
so good,
so worth it.
Nothing makes you more hungry than the Sopranos.
Oh, I got I got some good mortadella from Lindsay Ames. I was hanging out yesterday at my house, and I get a text message from Lindsay Ames, and it's a picture of a sandwich, and she goes, "I just made this sandwich, and you, if you want half of it, you can come pick it up."
Nice.
And I was like, "Hell yeah, I want that half of that sandwich." So, and it was funny. I happened to be making a cheesesteak at the time, so I cut the cheesesteak in half, and we went over and we did a little sandwich exchange. I gave her half of a cheesesteak, and she gave me half of the sandwich that she made, and it had like mortadella and sprouts and a fried egg and like a garlic aioli. It was so awesome.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
I put a little hot sauce on there. There was some pickled onions.
Mortadella and a fried egg.
I was really blown away, and that was one of the things I said. I was like, the mortadella and the fried egg were so good. It was really had like this really like kind of like fatty taste to it. So with the pickled onions, and I put a little bit of the high spice, the drunken pineapple, hot sauce on there. And it gave it just a kick that it needed. It was great. It was on the sourdough bread that she made, like homemade sourdough bread. It was a fantastic sandwich.
Wow.
We had been talking a long time about how Chuck always says that if he were to run for president... Right? Yep. One of his presidential platforms...
Which he has a couple times.
He always said his presidential platform would be that we're not allowed to make remakes of movies anymore.
Yeah, I want to put a 10-year hiatus on remakes.
You're going to shut down the entire city of L.A.
Good.
That's going to be a ghost town.
So you're saying that remakes are acceptable, but does there have to be a 10-year...
No, no, like a 10-year... like
For 10 years, nobody can make a remake of anything.
Yes,
it's not like
years.
You can make a movie and then you have to wait 10 years before you can remake it.
Yeah.
Because they're doing new Batmans like every 3 years.
Ugh, yeah. Why?
There's a new Batman movie like every 6 months where they're like, wait, why are we rebooting it? We all know the origin story of Batman.
Batman is one, though. Are they really, is it a remake or are they just using this character again in another way? You know? Because it's like...
Explain the difference to me.
Well, because it's like a remake. This in the bill.
A remake is like you're taking the same plot line and doing it again with new actors.
Yeah, with
new
lesbians.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you put like lesbians in it for no reason, you know?
Not that there's anything
wrong
with that.
So you're saying it's a reboot?
It's more like it's like abusing IP.
Okay. Yeah, none of that. Yes. All original, for 10 years, all original movies. And songs,
and so what
too.
Happens after
no more
the,
cover songs, okay?
What happens after the 10 years?
No more Tracy Chapman, nothing.
Tracy
after
Chapman.
After 10 years, then we starved the people, and then it would give it time for all its like crockpot, any remakes that they do make, and then it would have maybe a chance of doing a good remake.
Now, I like I like the idea of waiting time in between also sequels, because look how good Toy Story 3 was, because they waited like 10 years in between 2
but
and 3.
But look how bad Toy Story 4 was!
Because they didn't wait long enough.
Toy Story 4, hot garbage!
And then Toy Story 5 also... on its way out, I think, in 2026. They just released a trailer for Toy Story 5.
They took the time.
So, it's been like 7 years, so they haven't hit the 10-year. Also, hot take, I don't like Tracy Chapman.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going to take a fast car out of this.
I'm
going
to take a fast car.
And fast car, also, not a good song.
Whoa. That's a hot take. That's crazy,
that
dude.
Is
That's crazy. How can you say that?
How could I say that on live TV? Is there no accountability anymore?
No more covers. No more nothing.
So the reason why I'm bringing up the whole Chuck Banning remakes when he becomes president is because...
I'm so poignant.
Disgraced former president and current president Donald Trump is now wielding his presidential power... two green light movies, and the movie that he greenlit is Rush Hour 4.
That's really funny.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So Trump,
also,
so Rush
how
Hour
many
4
people in that movie were on an Epstein plane?
Well, the director, Brett Ratner, is in the Epstein files.
Yep.
And also Chris Tucker is also in the Epstein files.
Yeah, I remember
files.
Hearing
Tucker.
That. Yeah, Chris
so
Tucker.
I think Rush Hour 4 is going to be about them breaking into the FBI to get the Epstein files redacted. This is Jackie Chan is going to be karate chopping the Epstein files. But the reason... So
The one reason?
The Rush Hour franchise is owned by Paramount, and so Trump has been putting a lot of pressure on Paramount for numerous reasons, and one of them was he wants them to greenlight Rush Hour 4, and they did it. They're going to make Rush Hour 4.
Is it going to be, like, government-made, though? Is it going to be, like...
It's going to be made by the government.
We are slowly turning into, like, 1980s Russia.
Well, Jackie Chan's...
from a communist nation.
He's from a... I'm sure he's made a couple state-sanctioned movies before. Definitely. So he's probably used to
it. Can Jackie Chan still kick butt? I mean, I know he could kick my butt.
Yeah.
But can he kick, like, villainous butt?
Yeah. He's Asian.
He's gonna...
He's also in, like, fantastic shape, and he's one of the greatest martial artists of all time. I think he can kick a villain.
Still got it?
I think he can beat up a white person in a movie.
Yeah. Can he still jump into, like, garbage pails from five floors?
Probably.
Nice.
I don't know.
But also one of the reasons why they're making it is...
to bring the N-word
so
back.
Brett Ratner, who was in the Epstein Files... He also just produced, or he directed that documentary about Melania. Yeah. So I think
it was like an exchange deal.
I think part of the deal of him directing the Melania documentary was him, because he also got, in addition to being in the Epstein Files, he also got, like, Me Too'd.
Yeah, because he's a terrible, disgusting human being.
And so that's why Paramount didn't want to work with him anymore. And so because he's doing the Melania doc, I think, like, Trump is like, all right, well, we're going to put pressure on Paramount to greenlight your movie. So, I mean, we're going to get a Rush Hour 4 out of it. And
documentary, that it's going to be under, like, considered educational.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, we're technically an educational show.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
I mean, we are technically listed as an educational show.
We are. We're a nonprofit educational show, baby. Nothing but the truth.
I've learned a lot.
I would argue that we're more educational than that Melania documentary that's going to come out. So
definitely.
Yeah. So there you go.
I see your logic, and I double down.
Now,
what's the Melania documentary going to be about? It's like Trump bought this lady from Russia, and then
she came in a box, and he opened it up, and it was love at first sight.
It's going to be 6 minutes long.
You pull a string, and she's like, there's a snake in my boot.
Their engagement video is an unboxing video on YouTube.
She inflates like one of those bouncy castles you see at Camelot.
Like a Casper mattress. Yeah, that was her marital bed, was a Casper mattress. They came in the same box. Like, let's consummate this right now.
He actually is like, I just ordered the mattress. Don't know what this lady's doing.
Half the documentary is just Trump waiting for a hot child.
Now, so my question to you guys is, in Chuck's case, when you become president, what movies would you greenlight? What sequels do you want to see? That now that presidents are using their power to just greenlight sequels?
Golden Compass, I think it needs a sequel.
The show?
No, the show was okay, but the movie, they had a movie with Daniel Craig.
Wait, there's a movie, too?
Yeah.
Of Golden Compass?
Yeah.
Huh. How about you, Willie?
I think I'd do, like There Will Be Blood 2 or something.
Yeah.
There Will Be More Blood.
There Will Be More Blood.
There Will Also Be Blood.
There Will Be
Again.
There Will Be Blooder?
Yeah.
There Will
Be Blooder. It's like Daniel Day-Lewis trying to, like, offshore drill or something like that. I don't know.
He's just in Alaska.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Just him mowing down indigenous people.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to build, like, a pipeline.
I've abandoned my pipeline. I eat your salmon.
I eat your seal meat. I eat it up.
You guys.
I would green light. I want to see another Home Alone, but now with Macaulay Culkin as the dad.
Okay.
Because
we need to get the government involved.
We've had a bunch of Home Alones without Macaulay Culkin,
which,
right?
By the way,
but now enough time. Yeah. Oh yeah, after two, it's all hot garbage, and even two wasn't that great.
I rewatched two. It is not a good movie. It's nostalgic. There's fun parts to it, but it's not good.
Yeah, I mean, it was just Home Alone in New York.
And they only waited 2 years.
It was the same movie again. Exactly. See, if they had waited 20 years, what was it, 89? When was Home Alone? 90?
Do-do-do-do. Yeah, so, 90 and then 92.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're talking 35 years later.
Now,
they could definitely do an updated Home Alone.
Would you get Catherine O'Hara in it?
Yeah, get Catherine O'Hara. Macaulay Culkin's the dad. He's got a precocious little kid, and they accidentally leave him alone.
Yeah.
How does he leave a kid alone, though? That's like his biggest trauma. wouldn't make any sense.
Well, trauma is generational, Willie.
Oh, that's true, yeah. It's a vicious cycle. He did it on purpose.
Home Alone 8, hurt people, hurt people. That, and I want to see Kill Bill 3. I think I'm going to strong arm Tarantino into making his last movie, Kill Bill 3.
Yeah, the daughter should come back and try to kill her.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they already set it up. So it's right there.
And the daughter would be of age. She'd be old enough to be an assassin now.
Also, by the way, I did go to see Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair.
I flew to Oahu to go see it.
I had a very fun time on Oahu. And The Whole Bloody Affair, it was a great watch. There was a little intermission. There was like a 10-minute intermission in between. Really great movie.
Cool. There's no intermission. You're just peeing back in your soda bottle.
Yeah.
Didn't he release an unreleased thing, but through like Fortnite?
What?
So there was an additional animation sequence that he was in the script but was never animated. And so he had one of the studio that works with Fortnite, the animation company, that he had them animate it. And it was like a secret scene that was post-credits. So okay. If you watch The Whole Bloody Affair and then you stay all the way through the credits, at the end there's like a little 5-minute like bonus animation sequence that has like a video game. Gamey feel, but it was originally
made in a video game.
Made in a video game engine.
You mean the Fortnite one gave it a video game feel? So, I want to bring back the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
the movies.
I want to see Reservoir Dogs, but in the Crash Bandicoot engine.
Whoa!
He cuts the guy's ear off. He's just like, "Wow!" He eats a papaya and his ear grows back. Yeah,
just complaining about why he doesn't tip.
And Tarantino has been having a rough week.
You can't do the Fortnite thing and then be like, Paul Dano sucks.
Also, like, dude, I rewatched There Will Be Blood because of it, and guess what?
Because of Paul Dano's
great in that
Paul
movie.
Dano,
yeah, and it's like
it's maybe his best role.
I wonder though if actually Quentin Tarantino did that as a favor. Like, if you say, "Hey, I hate somebody," people will be like, "No, you're wrong. I really like him." Like,
So
Tim Heidecker has a long-running bit where he hates another comedian, but it's like a long-running inside joke.
Or how Jimmy Kimmel always bumps Matt Damon, but then Matt Damon ended up becoming a big star.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because of Jimmy Kimmel.
Where would Matt Damon be if he wasn't bumped by Jimmy Kimmel? I would love to do bumps with Matt Damon.
Would you do coke with Matt Damon?
I would.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But you know what surprises me?
Not Ben Affleck, though.
No. Ugh.
No way.
I feel like...
He would be like the worst person to do drugs with.
Ben Affleck? Have you ever seen Boiler Room? It's going to be like that scene in Boiler Room.
I'm like, you can't handle your shit.
Ben Affleck yelling at you the whole time.
Ugh. Yeah.
Chain smoking, getting sad.
Ugh.
Casey Affleck, maybe.
He does a line and he tries to grab my gun and...
Like, go for it. Go for it.
I'm a huge Tarantino fan, but I'm surprised that Tarantino hasn't gotten canceled.
He's got a weird year.
Doesn't he seem like the type of guy who would have been canceled already?
I mean, he wrote a movie just so he could say the N-word in an Australian accent. It's kind of weird.
I don't think that's why he wrote it.
It was odd to include it, for sure. Doing the accent
it really made it a Tarantino movie if Tarantino doesn't show up and say the N-word in front of a black person.
I was thinking that. Why was he Australian in that?
It doesn't make any sense.
Because
I was hot.
Instead of having a death pool, who's in your cancel pool for 2026?
Okay, I want to do a death pool, a restaurant death pool, and I love this idea of doing a cancel.
Nobody does a cancel pool. I feel like we should start doing cancel pools.
Let's do a cancel pool. Let's put the spread on it.
There's people that got canceled in 2025 that nobody was expecting. Who's going to get canceled in 2026?
Ja Rule's getting canceled.
Ja Rule.
I think Ja Rule's going to... I'm feeling it.
Ja Rule.
That's a weird pull.
So the reason being Ja Rule is 50 Cent hates Ja Rule.
Yeah, but Ja Rule's like kind of like... He's a meaningless enemy to 50 Cent, you know? He's a fly in a big
I think
room.
Ja Rule's rule is over.
Yeah.
Well, actually, maybe it's been over.
Did you hear what Ja Rule did during the filming of that Mountain Dew commercial? Who's the comedian that you said is taking young boys on tour?
Tim Dillon.
We'll put him on the list.
Maybe Tim.
He's got a lot of weird short video. I don't like to make fun or anything, but and I know you like work with it, but his shorts are really weird to me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He is doing like Alex Jones kind of stuff.
You should see
like
when he takes his shorts off around young boys.
Tell him I'm 19 going on 32.
But there's a... I think Louis is going to get it again.
You think he's gonna get re-canceled?
He's going to get re-canceled.
He just released a book, Ingram.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So maybe they'll cancel his book tour or something.
Any
yeah.
females going to get canceled?
I mean, he got canceled and then he like won a Grammy. So, I mean,
yeah,
he's definitely ripe for re-cancel.
I think canceling is not real.
I want to start re-cancel culture.
Yeah.
Re-cancel culture.
Just, remember when we canceled Roseanne? I'm just getting nostalgic about it. Like, let's cancel her again. Let's bring her back and then cancel her
again.
Have
you seen the Roseanne documentary where she has a cruise ship exclusively for young gay children?
Have you seen that Melania documentary? It's fire. You know who I think's getting canceled? George R. R. Martin.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's my pick for 2026. That dude's got too much money and power, and he's just a huge walking incel. He's got to be up to something no good, right?
I don't know. I feel like he just kind of locks himself inside of a house, though.
I don't know, man.
I don't know if anyone's going in there, you know?
I don't know.
All right. How about Mike Rowe?
I feel like there's something. Mike Rowe. Wow. Yeah.
Of Dirty Jobs.
Wow.
I'll show you some Dirty Jobs.
Every time I watch Dirty Jobs, my wife goes, I think he has a chest implant.
You're still watching Dirty Jobs?
No one's chest looks like that.
Where are you watching Dirty Jobs?
Christy watches actual television.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
like with the big remote.
Wait. Is Dirty Jobs still on?
I mean, I don't think they're making...
It can't still be on TV,
I think there's,
right?
Like, four shows on TV, and it's, like, South Park and Dirty Jobs.
It's NCIS.
Yeah, NCIS.
Did you hear that
Dirty Jobs.
The writer for South Park, not Matt or Trey, but the other writer for
he
South Park...
He bought the Trump-Kennedy Center.
The Trump-Kennedy Center domain.
Because he called it. He was just like, Trump's going to put his name on the Kennedy Center. I can feel it. And so he just bought the domain, like, like a year ago.
Yeah, it's so
that's
funny.
Gold, Jerry. All right, do you think Jerry Seinfeld's going to get canceled?
You know what? He got soft. They tried to soft cancel him when his movie came out, the Pop-Tart movie. It didn't stick, though.
I didn't mind that movie at all.
Well, the movie
was
good.
It was about him dating the 17-year-old when he was 30.
If you go on Reddit, that's all they talk about.
It's funny because like they tried to cancel him, but they're just like, we're canceling Jerry Seinfeld because he said that like it's you can't be funny anymore because of PC culture, and everybody's like, are we going to talk about him dating the 17-year-old when he was 35? No, okay,
yeah. All right, yeah, he was like
they were friends.
He was like talking about like. He's like saying like the Palestinians deserved it. Nobody cared. It's like you're like, how is he not getting in trouble for these?
No one cares.
So, yeah, you know what? Maybe Seinfeld. Maybe he's been circling the drain for a little while.
Mm. Yeah, I just don't think his cultural impact is what it used to be.
He's
so people don't
with
care.
Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah,
a lot.
I like Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan has a bit about Jerry Seinfeld taking him out for a drink, and he ordered what he thought was an expensive bourbon, thinking it was going to be like $60 to $80, and it was $600.
Oh wow! Well, that's still nothing to Seinfeld.
Yeah, but also Jim Gaffigan's rich too.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not Seinfeld rich though,
and he has kids, which is like, oh,
yeah,
it's a waste. Yeah.
And Jim Gaffigan's probably also like tithing as well.
Yeah.
So like the Catholic Church is probably taking like 20% of off the top of everything Jim Gaffigan makes.
All right, any politicians
he's
you think
indulgences?
You think any politicians going to
get politicians
year?
Don't get canceled. Politicians aren't going to get canceled.
Hmm.
It has to be like a celebrity who's got skeletons in the closet. But hasn't gotten Me Too'd yet.
Have you heard the Michael Jackson Israeli conspiracy?
Uh-oh. Are you saying Michael Jackson's going to get canceled?
Yeah, no. Well, this is... like, sometimes I love conspiracies, as you know, but this one's, like, kind of dumb. They're trying to say that Israel planted and made the whole Michael Jackson thing
happen. I saw
this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't until he went to Israel and he came back and he's like, oh, they're doing some mean stuff over there. And then Israel is like, we're going to make you build a Neverland ranch and sleep with children. And it's like, I think he's doing that already, though, right?
Oh, man. First Charlie Kirk and now Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
The Charlie Kirk stuff. That's like, that makes sense. I get behind that.
Israel! Is there nobody you won't kill? First Jesus.
Yeah. Man,
Charlie
do you remember
Kirk.
Finding out when Jesus was Jewish? That was a day.
Just, I think the worst thing that ever happened to Jewish people was Israel.
Yeah.
These guys, they just keep making them look bad. It's like...
They should have just built like an island for them, like yeah. the way they do in Dubai,
like somewhere in like the Bahamas.
Yeah,
yeah. They already did build them an island. It's called Epstein Island. Come on,
we're just having fun here. But I agree, Willie. We should take all the Jews and put them on an island somewhere. Then the gays,
and the gays,
and the blacks. Island. Wait, don't they have Fire Island already?
That's, right, where that's where Jake Coughlin's from.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Fire Island?
Yeah, he's from North Long Island. Fire
was
Island.
He born in a test tube?
Yeah.
Lordy. Oh, well, we're getting close to the end of the show.
I know. We didn't even do anything. We just laughed at each other's jokes the whole time.
All right. How about you want to talk about... Ooh, we can talk about the Beef Wellington.
Sure.
Beef Wellington was great.
Beef Wellington, as listeners of the show know, we make a Beef Wellington every year. I had Chuck and Willie and friend of the show, Shahane, over. And there's a video of me cutting open the Beef Wellington. And when you see the temperature inside, it's like perfect. And Willie goes, come on. It was a good time.
It's so good. Good stuff. What else do you like, guys like to cook around the holidays?
Very hammered. By the way, we went to open mic after that. It was rough.
Dude, I was so drunk at my mom took me like a birthday dinner. I was blitzed.
Yeah, you went to like a fancy restaurant in Wailea, and we drank two bottles of whiskey.
No, we went to Mateo's.
Oh, Mateo's.
And then they kept feeding me drinks at Mateo's too. I was like, I was hammered that night.
Dude, nothing soaks up alcohol like a big bowl of pasta, though.
The next morning, I went snorkeling.
Makes me so happy. I love getting drunk and eating Italian food.
See, I got the short rib mistake. I should have got. I don't know what I was thinking. I had like four bites.
No, you
gotta
get the lamb ragu, dude.
I'm at Mateo's. I'm gonna get the. Give me the loco moco. I'm really hammered.
Oh, Lordy.
And I also, around this time of year, around New Year's, I always like to make cheesesteaks.
Mm.
And it's perfect because I always go to Times because Times has the shabu shabu meat on sale for New Year's.
And Times has perfect portions.
Times does have perfect portions, yeah.
And they give options, too. It's like great, man.
Right. Yeah. And it's
I guess
like,
shabu shabu makes sense for cheesesteaks, too, because it's thin, right?
Yeah, because what you want is like a good quality beef that's like sliced really thin.
Love shaved
ribeye. You ask them if you ask them for meat for cheesesteaks, they don't know what you're talking about. But if you just be like
shabu shabu,
you guys got shabu shabu meat, they're like, oh yeah,
which is Vince's favorite onomatopoeia.
Shabu shabu,
shabu shabu.
A lot of people don't know that it's onomatopoeia.
Yeah, it's an onomatopoeia, baby.
Is it?
That's because when you put it in the hot water, it goes shabu shabu.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, what does it noise it make?
apparently, when it's cooking in the hot pot, it goes shabu shabu.
Shabu, 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 shabu.
But that's, I think that's more of a cultural thing because, you know, it's like.
That's not what
you know,
I
like,
hear.
Okay, you know, so like if you ask different cultures what cows and chickens make,
yeah,
they don't go bawk, bawk, bawk.
Everybody's got a different answer.
Right?
Also, sneezes.
Yeah.
Achoo is like an American thing, but people in different countries sneeze in different languages.
Mm-hmm.
It's a learned thing.
Also, a lot of people don't actually say achoo.
Achoo! Where?
Dave Chappelle. You think Dave Chappelle's going to get canceled?
No.
Nah.
He already outlasted his cancel.
Okay.
With the trans stuff, and he's
also.
Did you see his new stand up?
No. Is it good?
He's still making trans jokes for no reason, like kind of just to be like, I'm going to now insert a trans joke for no reason into every special just because it makes people mad.
I think if people didn't get mad about it, they wouldn't have done two of them. You know what I mean? Like the first one, people got mad. And he's like, I'm gonna do four of these.
We're on like his.
It is sometimes fun to make people mad.
But we're on like his fourth consecutive special of him just talking about trans people and how he's like a martyr for free speech because there was backlash about his trans jokes. And it's like, okay, we get it, man. Like,
yeah, no, I agree.
I don't think what you said was that offensive, but
that
like,
Australian
let's move
comedian.
On. Jim Jefferies?
Jim Jefferies. He has a really good joke about it. Where if they were all women, they wouldn't be so hot.
your
boobs are perfect.
So there's a new Dave Chappelle special on Netflix, which is okay. Yeah. You know, I wish he would stop. He would get over, like get past the trans stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he also defends his decision to play the Riyadh Comedy Festival. It's just like all of Dave Chappelle's specials now are just him doubling down on bad ideas that he made and trying to be like, no, I'm fighting for free speech. It's like, no, you got paid $6 million
by Saudis to go. Yeah. Did you hear the conspiracy about the Dubai chocolates? Yeah. That was a way of like soft infiltrating America so we don't think they're that bad.
Also, if free speech is so much easier to do in Saudi Arabia, then any of those comedians, please say something disparaging about the royal family.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all ears. Say literally one thing.
That's it. I'm getting canceled this year. Because I hate the royal family.
Oh, it was in your contract that you literally can't say that? Okay, cool.
Interesting.
Give them a royal flush. Yeah.
I've been watching The Diplomat, and I finally got up to the part where Allison Janney and Bradley Whitford show up.
So. Okay, yeah. The pool episode? Did you see the pool episode yet?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
I just started season 3.
Oh, Felicity jumps in the pool and talks. It becomes pretty much West Wing, is what I'm saying.
And I was like, ooh, who else from the West Wing is going to show up? I was like, please let it be Bradley Whitford. And it was Bradley Whitford.
You love Bradley Whitford.
I love Bradley Whitford. They did him so dirty in Handmaid's Tale. And then also you saw The Substance?
Yes, finally.
Yeah, I like that.
Also, spoiler alert, you told me that the end of The Substance had so many twists and turns, and then they end up at a GWAR concert.
I said the whole thing turns into a GWAR concert.
And so,
but I was using that as a metaphor.
Which I don't understand metaphors. And so the moment her finger turned all weird and monster-like, I'm like, oh,
it's
my
GWAR.
God, Vince ruined the movie for me. It's going to end up at a GWAR concert. And then it ended, and I was like, there was no concert.
Chuck's like, when do they get to the GWAR concert?
And no, then it's like a guitar shaped like an X.
Then I spent 20 minutes trying to explain
as a monster shooting blood over everybody in the audience.
With her old face taped on her face.
Great movie. Also, I saw Begonia. Have you seen Begonia?
Still haven't seen it.
No. Oh, so good, man.
Also, if you misspell it, there's a 5-year-old movie where it's just two lesbians talking to each other on the floor.
It's named after a flower, which is begonia.
Yeah.
There's a flower called a begonia. But Begonia, Emma Stone, it's like a perfect movie.
And if you guys haven't seen Cousin it, Twice Removed, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. yeah, Plemons.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, it's almost time to go. So we're going to do a quick version of Chuck Stuff the Knowledge Buffalo is when Chuck tries to prove he's the smartest buffalo in the room.
I'm the smartest buffalo alive.
Our first question.
I've been studying this year.
Our first question is for Chuck. Chuck, how many sides does an octagon have?
8.
That is correct. Okay, Willie, your question is, what is Planck's constant?
Oh, I remember this from high school. It's a measurement of joules in a.
I'm sorry.
Let's get into it.
Chuck, your question for geography. Name a country that borders America.
Canada, and I'm going to go for another one, Mexico.
All right. And Willie, what is the capital of Namibia?
Namibia, that's in Africa.
That's correct.
That's pretty good. God. It's,
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
And our third question is sports. Chuck, in which sport do players shoot into a basket?
Basketball?
That is correct. And Willie, Scott Robertson is the head coach of what rugby team?
Can I see this one?
I'm going to say the Ireland national rugby team.
The New Zealand Blacks.
No, it is the New Zealand All Blacks.
Oh, baby.
Come on.
That
means that you are the smartest buffalo alive, and that's the end of our show.
But at the end of Biscuits and Gravy, baby, have a bright new year. I'll see you next year for Cancel Culture. And for me to you, aloha.